I invite you to join me in prayer for just a moment. Well, Lord God, we thank you for the word you've given to us and for the Son you sent to redeem us. We ask the word we just heard, read from that holy book, make them understandable to us and change us and fill our minds, our souls, our hearts, our very being with your word. And of all the thoughts that come from these readings and those things that I might say, be acceptable in your sight. So we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may see in the bulletin there that my sermon title is blank. That means I don't have one, so I'm just... God was creating. As God was creating the world, he had this guy called Satan behind him, begging to be part of the creation. Well, Satan pestered God so much, he said, okay, you can create one thing. So Satan created Comcast. Although in this case it might be Embark, because that's what Dean has for a server, and there was a miscommunication here, and Dean never got my sermon title, so that's why it's blank. I'm usually a little bit more together than that. Nevertheless, things are not what they always appear to be. I have two stories to tell you, both of them involving really old people. They were over 60. Now, don't laugh too hard. When I was a kid, in the 60s, on the east coast of Florida, I knew a whole bunch of people that retired from up north and moved south. Early retirement, you know, they retired at 62, 55, or maybe even 60. And after living in Florida for about 2 years, you know what? They were old. Because they didn't do anything. I knew a bunch of old guys that came down and all they did was play a round of golf a day. You know, and they were old. But there was a nice young married couple. Again, they were at least 60. And to keep them straight, we'll call them Gertrude and Heathcliff. Gertrude and Heathcliff. Y'all remember?
Yes.
Red Skull. Okay. But these are not seagulls. These are real people. And they've been married a long time. They didn't look and act and feel as good as they did in the past. One day, they were sitting at a bar, and whether it was a food bar or an alcoholic bar, I'm not quite sure. They're sitting at this bar, and Heathcliff is sitting there, and his hair is all. You know what we look like when we don't comb our hair, right? Those of us who have some hair. And his shirt was misbuttoned, so the collar was kind of cockeyed. He had a little bit more around his middle than he was supposed to. You know, somebody hanging things from his chin. And Gertrude went from considering Heathcliff to being suave and debonair to being suave and debonair. But Gertrude wasn't a whole lot better than Heathcliff. Her nicely blue tinged coif was matted. Her makeup was barely there. All it was on was making her look like a clown. Big patches of rouge on her face that weren't spread out in this case. Nevertheless, Gertrude and Heathcliff still loved each other after all these years of being married. But Heathcliff angled Gertrude in the ribs. He says, Gertrude, you see that old couple over there? You see the terrible shape they're in? You know, in 10 years, that's going to be us. And she turned to Heathcliff and said very sweetly, "You idiot, that's a mirror." Things do not always appear as they seem. One more. There's this old couple. You see a thing here? This couple actually was elderly. They were in their 80s. And they went to the pharmacy. And they went to the pharmacist and they said, "Can we ask you a couple of questions?" He said, "Yes." They lay on these different kinds of drugs. Hey, have you all heard this story?
No.
Okay, well, those of you who have, you don't have to pay attention. They said, "You carry this drug, this drug, this drug." I said, "Yeah." And then he asked the pharmacist, "Do you have adult diapers here?" And he says, "Yeah." "Do you have Geritol?" Geez, nobody's asked for that in a long time. I think I got a case back. Said, "You have walkers?" "Yeah." "How about arthritis creams and things like that?" "Oh, yeah." He said, "You know, you two really don't look that bad. You know, you want to buy all this stuff?" They say, "No, we want to use the pharmacy as our bridal registry." Things do not always appear as they are. You imagine yourself as a time traveler. It really shouldn't be hard for you to do that because, in actuality, you are a time traveler. Every one of us here is traveling in time. But we only go forward. We don't go backwards. And it seems like the older we get, like Gertrude and Heathcliff, it seems that our travels go faster. Is that true? So imagine yourself, rather than just being one of us that goes forward in time, you go back in time. And you transport yourself back to the first century, AD. Now, what called it at that point in time, but still. And we're talking about a very primitive, rough, difficult, violent time. And not only can you transport yourself in time, you do it in space. And you wind up in that part of the world that someday would be called Palestine. And it is tumultuous because, to quote Bob Dylan, the times, they were a-changing. You all know Bob Dylan, right? Bob Dylan, he's old. I am too, so I can say that. But anyway, in this place where you are, there's a guy called John the Baptizer. And John the Baptizer has caused some problems. He's upsetting the nation. He's really upsetting the Queen of Israel. This is Palestine, Israel, y'all got the transition, I think. And he's upsetting them. Because John the Baptizer goes out and he speaks the truth to the people. And people generally don't like hearing the truth, even when it's good news. Sometimes you just can't handle the truth. It's tough. But you show up here, and you know about John the Baptist, and you wind up seeing Jesus talking to the people of John, some of the disciples that John sent to check up on Jesus. And you start hearing things that are a little surprising for yourself. These disciples of John were sent to see if Jesus was really what he appeared to be. If he was the real deal, or if he was just one of these other false messiahs that popped up throughout the history of Israel. I think this is kind of strange that he's doing this, because our gospel reading was from the Gospel of Matthew this morning. But there's another one called the Gospel of Luke. Have you ever heard of that one? In that gospel, we know from what was written down by John that that John, different John, that wrote it, John, son of Elizabeth, was Jesus' cousin. Okay? Probably second cousin or first cousin once removed, however you want to figure that out. But they were cousins. They knew each other. They were months apart in age. And so now John is wondering if Jesus is the real deal after baptizing him. And after seeing the dove descend and hearing the voice of God saying, this is my beloved son, and John is having doubts. But Jesus comforts John's disciples when they come to see him and talk to him. He tells them, go back and tell John what you've seen. The blind healed, the lame walk, recounting the miracles that were performed. Because I have terrible arthritis in those two fingers on my thumb. Heal them, please. Didn't work. How about you, young lady? I haven't seen you in a while, but heal me. Heal me. Didn't work. Ah, we'll give Bob a shot. You want to heal me, Bob? Didn't work. No miracle of healing my fingers this morning. John's disciples saw Jesus heal. And the only one who could do that was someone sent from God. So after Jesus talks to John's disciples, sends them away, sends them back to John, he turns to the crowd that's there, to the people of Israel, and he starts teaching them. And he's teaching about John the baptizer. They talk about his life, his work, who John was. This is what Jesus is telling the people. He's talking about John. And John was a paradoxical kind of a character, just as Jesus was. Jesus says that John is the voice who cries in the wilderness. The person whom Isaiah was speaking of. And then Jesus says something that's absolutely remarkable. Jesus says that no one on earth ever has been greater than John. John the Baptist, greatest man ever lived in the estimation of Jesus. You ever heard that before? You ever thought about that before? I hope so. Just imagine. This guy was something for which the nation was not prepared. We can accept it. We know. We've got the whole story here. But the people were thinking, the people in charge were thinking, this desert rat is the greatest person who's ever lived. He wears rags, essentially, for clothes. If not actual rags, things they made rags from. He eats weird food. How many people eat locusts around here? Or grasshoppers? You know, we have these grasshoppers in Florida. They're about big. Yeah. They're called lover grasshoppers. And they're really pretty. You know, I mean, some of them are all black with some spots. Some of them are kind of green and yellow. You take a half a dozen of them, run them in a skewer and barbecue them? Man, you're weird. But they do that in other places. And to be honest, insects are very nutritious. Lots of protein and good stuff in bugs. And after Dean's 1 minute recess, we're going to have a barbecue out back. How many can I plan on? Okay, we won't do that. But this guy, poor as can be, no home, strange ideas, living out in the desert, weird for the whole thing, and he was the herald of Christ. You gotta remember, John said, the one who comes after me is greater than me, that I'm not worthy to tie his sandals. The greatest man in the world says, somebody greater than me is coming. And that upset the people. In fact, it upset the leader so much that what happened to John? He got shortened by a headlight. But he spoke the truth. But in the continual teaching that Jesus is doing here with the crowd, he tells these stories of John. And those around, they're just stunned. And you as a time traveler say, man, this is a rough place to be. This is a rough country. But you know what? He could be talking to us living in the 21st century. 2,000 years later, the things that Jesus is teaching, he's teaching to us. Because we do the same thing the ancients did. Do more things than they did because of technology. We do different things. John the Baptizer was castigated because he and his disciples, what they did, they fasted. We talked about his diet. Some people said among the leadership that John the Baptist was possessed by a demon. He didn't fit their ideal anymore. Jesus did, the Messiah. But what they heard of them? The they in the world? The they who is responsible for everything that's bad? Well, it was the they back in the first century too. And the Jewish they didn't like John because he didn't fit their mold of a prophet. At the same time, they criticized Jesus. Why? Because unlike John, he ate and drank with sinners and basically had a good time. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus was a party animal and doing all kinds of bad stuff, but he drank and ate at weddings. They accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And they, you know these airports and everybody does today. I do. But the they didn't like Jesus doing the exact opposite of John. You can't win. You know the expression, you can't win for losing, right? That's where Jesus and John was. If they swapped happens, if all of a sudden John had started going out and eating and drinking and meeting with sinners, and Jesus went out into the desert with ragged clothes and eating bugs, what would the people have said then? I don't know how I would take that. But Jesus was accused and castigated for the opposite of John. But what I want you to hear today, right now, is that the day, I'm going to stop doing that, okay? I hurt my fingers. It's arthritis. You guys need to work on your healing skills here. The day were just as sinful as they were accusing John and Jesus obeyed. An amazing blindness, didn't they? Now, John was a sinner. John the Baptizer was a sinner. We don't know what his sins were, but he was 100% only human. And every human being that has ever lived has sinned, or if they're alive, is a sinner. Jesus, on the other hand, not. But the blindness of these people caused them, to put down and attack both John and Jesus for entirely different reasons. And I don't see a great difference today, actually. Folks see something that might be associated with God, they don't like it. So they deny it. They say, well, no, that line doesn't appeal to me. They twist and turn. I'm sure you've all seen things on the internet, on TV, in the news, where you've got people taking offense at Christian thought, Christian activity out in the world. There was a monument, the Ten Commandments monument that was put up in Alabama. Within 24 hours, somebody ran their pickup truck over and was completely crushed with granite plaques. Because they don't like it. And yet, Why don't they like it? Because it points out that they were hypocrites. All these people take and twist things that they hear, twist things that they do, twist things in Scripture, are hypocrites. Right outside the doors of this place, you're going to run into hypocrites wherever you go. Look at our politicians. All you Democrats, all you Republicans, and me as an independent, we're all hypocrites. Anybody want to argue with me on that? You don't want to because you'll lose. But they're all around. Every one of us here violates God's law all the time. I don't mean continuously, but we're always doing something wrong. We're guilty of idolatry and slander, covetousness. The word you don't hear anymore, but basically envy, wanting other people's stuff. All of you, every one of you, are a sinner. And so am I. Not only that, so was the Apostle Paul. In our reading today, Paul says, this is chapter 7, verse 15 out of Romans. Paul says, I don't really understand myself. I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate because it's a lot more fun. That's not there. But today, that's what a lot of people would say. They do something because it's a lot more fun, or it's a lot more advantageous. Paul was an amazing guy. I think sometimes he did think a little too much of himself. He was always talking about how humble he was. And just to let you guys know, I'm a very modest person. That's one of the things that makes me so great. Paul, on the other hand, tried to be a humble person. He turns around and he boasts sometimes. And he would recognize that he was a hypocrite. He was honest about himself and to himself. We have a person in our family who, anybody remember the Mac Davis, singer Mac Davis? You know the song, "It's Hard to Be Humble When You're Perfect in Every Way"? We have someone in our family. I heard that. We have a person in our family who took that song and recorded it over and over and over and filled a full 90-minute cassette tape with that song. And it was in the car and it played all the time, every day. Can you imagine that? As a joke, yeah, it's like an honesty thing. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect. Fine. One statement, one joke, one laugh, it makes sense. But no. And Paul would say to himself, if he was doing that, well, this is wrong. I mean, this isn't stopping. He would have been honest with himself, said, yes, I shouldn't do that. Remember that elderly couple I was talking about earlier? Gertrude and Heathcliff? They were not honest about themselves. Well, Gertrude tried to be, but either Heathcliff didn't have his glasses on, and so he couldn't tell in the mirror that it was him, or he was just lying to himself. So how many of us are like Gertrude and Heathcliff when we're looking in the mirror? Sometimes the mirror is just what you're doing. Because at sometime or other during our lives, during our daily existence, we have a tendency to think more of ourselves than we should. We begin to doubt or question everybody around us, even people who might be telling us something which is true about ourselves. You eat way too much. Well, by the way, if you're ever anywhere where I'm either lecturing or preaching or whatever, if you're sitting in the front rows, man, you get victimized. And you kick people out of the place where they are because you want to look out that window during school time, so you kick the kid out next to you off. And Tony back there, well, you know, he's wearing that purple shirt. He's being royal. Look at me too. Yeah, okay. This is the case of the pot calling the kettle purple. But we do that. We don't want to hear. Or, as Colonel Jessup said, who knows who Colonel Jessup is? The movie Fugitive Men? And Colonel Jessup is on a witness stand, and Tom Cruise is a defense attorney, and he's interrogating, in essence, the colonel. And Colonel Jessup said, "You can't handle the truth." He actually said it louder than that, much meaner than that. But can you handle the truth? If you can't, go like this. Because I'm going to tell you something that's true about you. And me. True about me too. We, right now, are all low-life, hypocritical sinners. Deserving condemnation. Eternal separation from God. That is who and what we are. But you know what? God loves us anyway. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Amen. God loves us anyway. Here's your takeaway for today. Jesus came to earth as one of us so that we lowly human beings, lower than pond scum, might learn the truth with a capital T. The truth that we are as low and as miserable and as rotten and as sinful as can be. That's who we are. God loves us anyway. And when God gave us the truth, capital T. 60 in there is a capital W and a capital L for way and life. God gave us the truth, the way, and the life from Jesus. And that truth does what?
It sets us free.
It sets us free. Does not mean you're on a stop sign and you're going to be waved off a ticket because you're a Christian. Doesn't mean if you rob the bank, you get caught, you go to jail. Doesn't mean that's not going to happen. What it means is you are free for eternal life with God. Free for eternal condemnation. One more for you. Joe Friday. Everybody must know Joe Friday, right? One of the things that Joe Friday said a lot on Dragnet was, those are facts. Just the facts, ma'am. And for some reason, he always said it to a woman. He always, I don't know why, but those are the facts, just the facts. And so it is. So be careful in your life. I'm talking, don't make hasty decisions and don't do things that are questionable for your safety or for others that you might entice into doing things wrong. Careful, because things in our world are often not what they appear to be. But through God, we can find out at the bottom of it and live. That's your takeaway. You have the truth.